And welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. Merry Christmas. We read today from the Gospel lesson appointed for the fourth Sunday in Advent, St. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who send us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Years ago, when visiting at the home of some parishioners, a particularly precocious young boy came up to me and said, "Say, God, I have a question." I explained to him that I was not God, but that I did know what God said about some things, so I might be able to answer his question. He thought about that for a second or two and appeared to be satisfied with my answer because he responded, "Okay, here's my question." Now, don't be too quick to dismiss this little boy's initial question. Clearly, it was absurd to assume that I, a mere man, was God in the flesh. Only Jesus is God in the flesh. No one else is. But was it absurd for that little boy to think that a mere man could tell him the very words of God? Or was he a better theologian than most theologians today? What a radical idea! A man speaks for God. They asked John, "Who are you?" He wasn't the promised Christ. He didn't claim to be. He made that crystal clear. He wasn't the reincarnation of Elijah, although he clearly preached in the spirit of Elijah. He wasn't the prophet that Moses foretold that particular prophet would be none other than Christ himself. Who was he? The voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Preachers and hearers can learn from St. John the Baptist. He has much to teach the church today, both pastors and laity, and there is a whole lot of confusion these days about what God says about the preaching office or pastoral office. There are two common errors promoted about the ministry of the word. They appear to be opposites, but actually they are twins. On the one side is the error that the minister has some special spiritual status before God that Joe and Jane Christian don't have. On the other side is the error that the minister does not speak with the authority of God. John refused any special status. He held an office. It was an office of preaching, and his job was to preach what God told him to preach. He was to preach God's word, not his own. So what John preached didn't come from John. It wasn't as if John had some special insight into preparing the way for the Lord that nobody else had. In fact, John wasn't particularly imaginative or creative. He preached plainly. When John preached the law, he didn't put his own spin on it. He didn't develop his own special brand of holy living. He told the people to share what they had with those who did not have. He told the tax collectors to collect no more than what was their due. He told the soldiers not to bully anyone and to be satisfied with their pay. He preached hellfire and damnation to everyone who refused to repent before God. When John preached the gospel, he pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he urged the people to follow Jesus, to trust in his blood, to put their confidence in him alone as the promised Savior of the world. John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and he emphatically renounced any special status. He was a voice, and only a voice. He baptized, but his baptism didn't obligate the one being baptized to follow him. To the contrary, his baptism pointed to Christ. John the Baptist laid claim to no more authority than to the Word of God, and no preacher has any more authority than that. God's Word and sacraments are not the private possession of a clerical class of haves, with the laity consigned to a class of have-nots. No, what the minister administers, the gospel and sacraments of Christ, belong to all Christians as their birthright. The minister doesn't have any authority that doesn't belong to the church and to the whole church. The preacher has nothing to offer you that God has not already given you in holy baptism. John baptized. In baptism, God forgives sins. God rescues sinners from the harm they do to themselves. God brings the dead to life. People are bound in captivity to their past guilt and their future fears, and then God comes and sets them free. Preachers preach. They're nothing more than a voice, and they've got nothing to say that God has not already revealed in Christ and recorded in the Holy Scriptures. So the first of the twin errors popular among us today is that the preachers have a special status. They have authority that doesn't belong to the whole church and to all members of the church. The other error is closely related to the first. It is that the minister does not speak with the authority of God. While giving lip service to a pastor's divine call to preach the gospel, many churches hire and fire preachers as if they are at-will employees of the congregation. If the preacher preaches something that offends the sensibilities of certain members of the congregation, or that angers certain officials of the church body to which the congregation belongs, he's told that he mustn't make waves if he wants to keep his job. And then, if he will not compromise, he's fired. Such churches don't believe in the divine call of pastors. They don't believe that the preacher preaches with God's authority. They don't want God's authority. They want their own. They want to pretend that what they think is true, and they won't suffer to be taught by another. They won't humble themselves before God by submitting to the authoritative teaching of God's minister. St. Paul warns Timothy of such people. He writes, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, such people may appear to be Bible-believing, conservative, traditional Christians, but they view the preacher as a hired man, and they resent the authority of his office. But God established the pastoral office, and God is the one who sends pastors to preach. The authority of the pastoral office is not for the aggrandizement of the pastor. No, it is for the benefit of those who listen to him. They need to know that what he preaches, when he preaches God's word to them, he speaks from God as God's voice with the full authority of God. Now, that means that you should never think that you don't have the right to approach your pastor and ask him to explain his preaching and teaching to you. And if you ever hear anything from the pulpit that appears to you to disagree with what you have learned from the Bible and from the faithful summary of biblical teaching that you have learned in the catechism, don't hesitate to call your pastor, talk to him about it. The man God put in the pulpit to preach with divine authority is the servant of every single soul in the congregation who seeks the true voice of God. Any pastor who won't show you that his teaching is from the Holy Scriptures has no right to preach to you. But when the preacher preaches God's word faithfully, you had better honor his preaching, even as you honor God who sent him to preach to you. God calls men to preach. He chooses to speak his law through the mouths of men who are guilty of breaking it. He chooses to proclaim his gospel through the voices of men who need the forgiveness of sins as much as their hearers do. A preacher preaches the gospel because God tells him to. And if he doesn't see the need to do so, or if he begins to think that he's got something a bit more relevant to preach, he should consider his own sin and ask himself where he would be if God were to hold his sins against him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the plea of every Christian preacher. Give me the confidence to believe that the gospel I preach to others is for me as well as for them. For I have sinned against the holy God and must repent of my many sins. Prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord preaches this through the man he has chosen. John's baptism was a sacrament in that it conveyed the forgiveness of sins, but it wasn't to last. Jesus would shortly replace John's baptism with his own, and that baptism endures until the end of time. God appointed John to be his voice to prepare people to meet Jesus in his first coming. God appoints his ministers today to be his voice to proclaim the Christ who came and who is coming again. And if they won't preach with authority, then they shouldn't presume to preach at all. When the preacher preaches God's law and it cuts your heart, you should not think that that's just a man's opinion that you can dismiss. No. We should rather take to heart the words of Isaiah. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is what the preacher must preach. The people are grass. Everything we own, everything we treasure, all that occupies our time is worthless when compared with the Word of God. So we repent. We repent of the sin of placing our affections on the stuff that withers and fades while ignoring the Word of God that stands forever. We repent of the sin of skipping church, of ignoring God's Word, of setting aside what God says when He requires of us what we don't want to do. Make straight the way of the Lord. This isn't achieved merely by confessing our sins. The gospel is proclaimed to those who confess their sins, but the power of the gospel doesn't come from our confession. It comes from God. The word of our God stands forever. The word made flesh on Christmas Day is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He takes away our sins. The preacher proclaims Him, and we who are joined to the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lamb of God in our baptism, we hear the preaching of the preacher and say amen to it. The preaching doesn't come from the preacher, but it comes from God. And what God says cannot fall, because God's word stands forever. We thank you for visiting with us on Christ for Us today. We'd also like to invite you to attend one of the services of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We have Divine Service Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. At 10:30 Sunday morning at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. And at 12 o'clock noon at First Divanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. Tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.